might be an encouragement to us. Psalm 34, and let's begin reading in verse 8. It says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. O fear the Lord, you His saints, and for to those who fear Him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." And so it's interesting here, right? He's treating the congregation as children, which means that he's addressing those within the congregation that are more inexperienced in the things of walking with the Lord. And his purpose is here is to teach them, kind of reminds you of the book of Proverbs, right? When you have a dad that calls his son alongside and he says to his son, "My son, listen to what I'm telling you," right? And so you see that at several portions there through the psalm. Basically, he asks the congregation to come, meaning in the sense of walk toward me, or actually to come right into my presence. So come, you children. And so we know that he's not talking literally about five-year-olds or eight-year-olds. He's actually talking to the ones, look at verse 3, "Oh, let us exalt his name," what? Together, or with me. Look at verse 9, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints." So when he says, "Come, you children," he's talking to the saints, isn't he? Okay, I don't know how that makes you feel, for me to look at you and call you children. Okay. Now, when you're young, you don't want to be called that, okay? But understanding the Bible and understanding that, you know, we're all inexperienced to some measure, right? And so here's a man who, has he been delivered? Has he come to understand how he was delivered? Does he understand what doesn't work? And so all of those things are right there. And he tells, "Now come around me, come, and I will teach you this fear of the Lord." And when you come, he actually says, "Listen to me." You ever say that to your kids? "Now listen to me." Okay? Sometimes in counseling or talking to someone, you just get a sense that they're not focusing in on what you're saying. Okay? And we're not very good at thinking four thoughts at the same time. In fact, you can't do that. Okay, you're not a computer with like four different chips and each chip can handle something and all that can be happening concurrently. A thought logically has to follow another what? Another thought, okay? So you can't have like two thoughts going down the same line. So people, we're not good multitaskers, right? If we're going to listen to something, we got to what? You got to stop what you're doing, right? You got to focus in your mind, and you got to listen to what the person is what? Saying to you. And of course, that's how we ought to be every time we gather before the Lord and His Word. So come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you. I'm going to instruct you about the fear of the Lord. One commentator said that He's saying, "Listen to me, I'm going to teach you the how we should fear God and the why that we should fear God." The why is so that we will have lack of nothing, so that we might see good, that we might have life in this life. Okay? But he's actually going to teach you the the how to do that also. This is the elder, the more experienced one, teaching the inexperienced. And that should be going on in church, right? We should all be exhorting each other in the things of the Lord. So pay attention to me, and I will teach you. And in fact, from verse 11 on, he moves from exhortation to gather and praise to what is called didactic. He's actually getting in a teaching mode. He's going to teach you some things. And remember, this is a song, right? So this is a song that that was to be sung, and he was singing that. And in the singing of it, you're teaching yourself. That's why music is critical, okay? It's the music and what's being what? Taught, said, because you're repeating that over and over and over as you listen to it or as you verbalize it, right? And what you repeat over and over and over is, in a sense, called meditation. And what you meditate on, you put where? In your heart. Okay, so here is the psalmist actually exhorting us in this. So we've talked about the fear of the Lord and how important it is for us to do that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of, starts with a K,
knowledge.
Everybody remember that? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of, starts with a W,
wisdom.
Okay. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord's critical to our lives. And our Lord feared the Lord. Okay. Who in the days of his supplications, Hebrews chapter 5, I think it's verse 7, or I think it's verse 7, verse 17, who in the days of his supplications with strong crying and tears cried out. He prayed to the one who was able to deliver him, and he was heard, King James says, because he feared. Reverenced is another word that's there. So the fear there aspect is definitely there. So, brethren, if we're going to grow in the Lord, now please hear this, if we're going to grow in the Lord, we have to grow in the fear of the Lord. Okay, now I want to show you something about that fear that may be a challenge to you. I want you to turn over to two passages tonight and then we'll be done. The first is Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33. Now, in Isaiah chapter 33, we're in the midst of judgment passages, but look at verse 5. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness, and he will be the stability of your times. Don't you love that? He will be the stability of your times. Not that your times would be stable, but that he would be our stability in the midst of unstable times, even times of judgment. And he will be the stability of your times, a wealth of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is his. Okay, so let's just pause right there and let's think about the fear of the Lord. Our Lord, when he walked on earth, saw this aspect of the fear of the Lord as wealth. Right? The fear of the Lord is his what? It's his treasure. So he saw this fear as something that made him wealthy or rich. The more the fear of the Lord he had, the more treasure that he had, the more wealth in his soul that he had. So let's just think about that right now. Is that the way we view the fear of the Lord? That this is wealth beyond all means. I mean, this is laying up treasure in heaven, isn't it? Okay. Because the fear of the Lord, not only is it the beginning of knowledge, not only is it the beginning of wisdom, not only does the fear of the Lord begat the fear of the Lord, and not only does the fear of the Lord grow the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of any deliverance in your life, right? That's what Psalm 34 is talking about, right? Was David delivered? He was delivered. He was delivered from all his fears. And he says, now what? How did all that happen? not by craftiness of speech, not by evil walking, but by the fear of the Lord. Because the angel of the Lord encamps around people who fear him. Isn't that wealth? Okay? Do you think Elijah had wealth when he's sitting there in that city with no fear? The Lord was his stability in the midst of an unstable situation that his servant is going nuts about, right? Don't you say, look at all these armies, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Elijah wasn't responding like that. He says, Lord, open up his eyes. So did Elijah fear the Lord? He did, right? And it was his deliverance. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of our deliverance also. It is to be our treasure. Now go over to Isaiah 11. Now when you think Isaiah 11, you're probably already thinking that this passage is clearly messianic. It is clearly discussing our Lord himself. Look at Isaiah 11, verse 1. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. Now, is that messianic? He's talking about the branch, isn't he? Okay, look at verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. What does the ESV say? Does it say fear of the Lord? Okay. The fear of the Lord. Everybody see that? Okay. To be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with the fear of the Lord. Okay. This is one of the seven, I didn't count those up, one of the seven spirits that is there resting on our Lord. Was our Lord full of wisdom? Was our Lord full of understanding? Did our Lord know how to say the right thing at the right time? Did our Lord have strength? Did he fear the Lord? And so everybody with me? Okay. So the fear of the Lord rests upon him. Are we to be conformed into his image? Then the fear of the Lord is to rest upon his people. Now look at verse 3. And he, that is this stem of Jesse, this branch, and he will, what? Delight in the fear of the Lord. Everybody see that? What does the ESV say?
His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord.
There you go. Okay, is everybody, verse 3 is where I want to get to. And he will, we'll say it together, he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Now, delight has a strong connotation to it, doesn't it? So in other words, folks, if I say the fear of the Lord, do you get scared about it? Or do you delight in it? Okay, there's a big difference between the two, right? The Savior delighted in the fear of the Lord. He delighted in it. It was his treasure. So I thought to myself, self, maybe you ought to look up this Hebrew word. So I got out my little handy dandy computer, you know, booted it up, went over there and took a look at this word. And do you know what? This Hebrew, the form of this Hebrew word only occurs once in the Old Testament. And I'm going to tell you, that's not very helpful in trying to determine what a definition, what God's definition of the term is. But the root of this word in the Hebrew comes from a word that means smell. And if you're like me, you're thinking, Now, how do you get from smell to delight, right? This root, the Hebrew root here, is used, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it, but it's used when the Lord said, I smelled a sweet smelling savor. Right? I was well pleased with that smell. In other words, it's not a smell like an odorous smell where you just turn your head away from it. Right? It's a smell. And some people think that this word, this Hebrew word here, describes not an emotion like I feel good about this, or I'm delighting in this, or I'm enjoying this, but that it's actually a word that indicates motivation. So that he would be motivated, he would delight in the face of what? The fear of the Lord. That there was something about the fear of the Lord, that concept, that motivated him. Because he treasured it, right? He saw it as his wealth. So when he was given a choice, obey the Lord or obey man, his heart was motivated. It was moved like smelling something very sweet, a good savor. He was moved toward, I'm going to word it this way, the smell of the fear of the Lord, not to obey his own way or to obey man. And you know what? If that's true, then I am sure your heart is saying what my heart said when I saw this is, Lord, I want that. I really want that more and more and more in my life to treasure and to value it and to be at the place where, you know, the fear of man is odious and the fear of the Lord is precious. That there's a joy and a love, something that motivates me, draws me in that direction. Isn't that what we need in our lives? Because so often we are delighting in, or we count as a sweet smelling savor, something that you shouldn't be smelling. Everybody with me? Okay, yeah. I don't know if you've ever had a situation where somebody said, here, smell this. This smells great. And you smell it like, blah. Okay, for some reason they thought this smelled great, but I don't. I want that type of reaction going on in my soul over the decisions, my walk as a Christian in this life. I want to know more and more about the fear of the Lord. I want to know more about its riches, more about its wealth, more about the fact that this is what gives me good life. This is the blessing of the Lord in a man's life. To be blessed of God, to fear Him, is a blessing. Because I'm telling you, people don't fear the Lord today. And in fact, Romans chapter 3, you know, where it says all have sinned and there's none good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after the Lord. Remember that passage? The end of that passage says, they have no fear of God before their eyes. Right? The world doesn't treasure this, brethren. But we got to have a different mindset about it. We got to hunger for it like somebody enjoys smelling a good fragrance and it brings them pleasure. We got to yearn for it as if it's the motivation of our heart, the joy of our being, to walk in the fear of the Lord. It is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of our salvation. Let's pray together.